The coroner's court is soon to commence an inquest into what happened with the Bourke Street massacre, as it's sometimes called, the drive-through, where a large number of people were killed and injured by a man who has already been sentenced by the courts. What's under scrutiny at the coronial inquest is not so much his activity, but the activity of Victoria Police, as is now of notorious public knowledge. That man was followed by Victoria Police officers from different parts of Victoria Police at different times for pretty much the entire day, for hours and hours as he drove around Melbourne, committing various crimes and various other incidents, but nothing was done to stop him, to intercept him or to arrest him until eventually what happened in Bourke Street happened, and then he was eventually caught after his car crashed. That is going to be a subject of acute embarrassment for Victoria Police. But what is astonishing is that at a directions hearing the other day, the QC representing VicPol submitted to the coroner that every single individual police officer, and there are more than 40 of them who are involved, may be separately represented at taxpayers' expense. That would mean that the witnesses, and there could be hundreds of them, it's not yet known how many will actually be called to give evidence. Statements were taken from hundreds and hundreds of people. Every witness may well be cross-examined by every lawyer on behalf of every police officer, which would be an extraordinarily long, complex and potentially confusing process in the coroner's court. So, the coroner is considering whether to accept that submission from VicPol, and I might say I'm free to comment about it because there's no jury involved, but it is raising eyebrows in legal circles right around Melbourne. We've invited VicPol to speak to the issue this morning, and they've declined. We've invited the Minister for Police to speak to it this morning, and quite rightly, the Minister says this is an operational matter. We do not get involved. I think, though, it does go beyond just that. It goes beyond being an operational matter because it involves also the allocation and expenditure of scarce resources, millions of dollars being spent on lawyers to put off what would seem to be the inevitable scrutiny of Victoria Police at a time of acute embarrassment. It also raises questions whether or not VicPol are required to be a model litigant, as most government agencies and departments are required to do so. And it also raises, and this is the most important one of all, but VicPol won't come on air to respond, it raises the question whether or not this is a plan hatched and conceived as a legal strategy by the lawyers, or is it that the lawyers are acting on the instructions of police command or the union? We can't find out because they won't talk to us. So, let's talk about them instead of to them. Darren Palmer is an associate professor in criminology at Deakin University and closely follows the activities of VicPol in the Royal Commission over Nicola Gobbo and all the other things swirling around at the moment. Darren, good morning to you.
Good morning, John.
It's what the military people call a target-rich environment at the moment, is it not?
What's the issue here is the way in which the coronial process has been loaded up with highly expensive, highly time-consuming practices on the basis that individual police need this legal protection. At this early stage in proceedings, that's not the case. It could be, as the proceedings continue, that it may be that some individual police do need individual representation, but that can be determined at a later date.
How come they've got a blank check?
Well, this is one of the interesting things about the relationship between the police association and its funding of representatives, but police officers who are normally charged or in other proceedings like the coronial inquiries, and their funding of those legal defences, and the extent to which those costs are covered or indemnified by the state.
By the taxpayers?
By us, yes.
So there's some sort of indemnity agreement or something, is there, between police command, police union, and the taxpayers and the government?
Yes, it goes back to this much more complex, longer argument about the relationship of an individual police officer to the state and their legal responsibilities and liabilities. And we've had this play out in Victoria over the last 20 or so years. It's been a significant issue. But if it is the case that the Victorian government is indemnifying the police association to fund individual lawyers for individual police, then there is effectively, it seems, no limit on the costs that would be borne by the taxpayers, us.
Well, let's wait and see what the ruling is and whether it's, in fact, denying them what they seek. As we speak, literally seconds ago, Darren, I've received a text from Victoria Police Media. They say, VicPol are working with the members involved in the Bourke Street tragedy to ensure that the interests of all parties are appropriately represented to assist the coroner's investigation. At this stage, Victoria Police have engaged one firm to represent the members. Yeah. We accept the decision of Her Honour, Coroner, and will not be appealing the decision once she makes it. So we'll see where that goes to. But yes, they've engaged one firm, but the argument is that firm will seek to have separate representation for everybody, which is extraordinary. We'll see where it gets to. Thank you for your expertise.
Thanks, John.
Darren Palmer, Associate Professor of Criminology at Deakin University.